But it's good to be back. I'm not going to bore you with too many stories of being overseas. We can do that one-on-one when we meet for coffees. I have lots of stories, but I actually want to share something on my heart that I was thinking when we came back from being overseas in the conference. But I want to share a story first. And so some of you might know that as a young man, I was in a lot of bands, particularly punk bands and hardcore bands, which mean it's very loud, aggressive music. And as a young man, that's how I expressed myself. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. But at one point, we were invited to play a show in Pretoria, which is quite far. And so we thought, well, why not? Let's go to Pretoria to play a show. But because we were young and financially challenged, we couldn't just fly there like people do now, and because there weren't flights like that then. So we decided to get a friend's old Toyota Bucky, put 7 people in the car with all our equipment, and drive to Pretoria. And so on a Friday, we all jumped into the car. Some of us were in the back of the car, which was a little bit concerning because the fumes from the bucky were kind of going straight into the back of the car. And so we had to do shifts, where otherwise the people in the back would eventually pass out. And so it was a little bit chaotic. And so we drove on Friday. We arrived on Saturday morning, early in the morning, probably about 2 or 3 in the morning. We slept on the floor of a friend's mother's creche, which is very punk rock. We woke up the next morning, we made CDs because we were making CDs to sell, and because we were so DIY, we made the covers of CDs out of Hessian. I don't know what we were thinking, and then we went, we played a show, we went to bed, woke up in the morning, and then drove back to Cape Town on Sunday and arrived back on Sunday night, which in hindsight is ridiculous. But when you're young, you do stuff like that and you feel like it's a good idea. But why did we do it? That is the question. What was the reason for doing it? It wasn't to make money. We didn't get paid for playing the show. In fact, we paid to get to the show and we weren't getting famous. There were probably about 100 people there. Like, no one's getting famous playing to 100 people, let's be honest. Okay. And we did it because it was for relationship. And passion. When you're younger, and in a subculture, you want to spend time with people like you. And because at that time, in the early 2000s, late 90s, that wasn't a big subculture in South Africa. And so we wanted to meet people like us. We wanted to spend time with people like us. And even though it was family, it was a dysfunctional family in a lot of ways, there were still people that we could relate to. And we wanted to get there. And so when we were traveling to the Netherlands, coming back from the Netherlands, I was thinking about the kingdom of God and how the kingdom of God is a lot of the time about moving, sending, traveling, and receiving people. And the early church was very relational. As much as it was theological and spiritual, the early church was very relational. You just read through the letters where Paul is writing letters to the churches going like, how are you? Like, I want to come see you. I'm desperate to see you. It's very relational because they were new and because they could relate to one another. The church was new. Christ had just been crucified. And so in Acts, they're going like, there's people like us in other parts of the world. We want to come and see you. Sure, I'm really straight out of the gates here. And so today I want to talk about the church. And about moving and being sent and sending and receiving and what it looks like for us as people to always be open to traveling and to meeting different parts of the church. And I want to talk about 3 parts. I want to talk about the local church, the wider church, and I loved Amy's story. Because Amy, she hadn't been to many of those gatherings, but look at how she was blessed by going to that, by the wider body blessing. If she just stayed in Fishhook forever, who knows if she ever would have received that word, but she was obedient to what the Lord had said to her, and she received this beautiful word. I think it's incredible. And then lastly, I want to talk about regions beyond. So my headings are local is lekker, day trips and family visits, and regions beyond. Okay, so local is lekker. Very South African. So as believers, I hope we all agree that we are called to the local church. All believers are called to be part of a local expression and body of the church. We agree to that. And we see that laid out in, I haven't started my timer. I've got an extra 5 minutes. So we see that in the book of Acts, Acts 2:44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Sure, I mean, that in itself is challenging. They sold property and possessions and gave to give to anyone who was in need. I mean, okay, that's not challenging for you guys. I mean, it's fine. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The local church, the local congregation is vital. As I said, we see Paul writing epistles not to individual people, but to churches, to the church in Ephesus and Philippi and Galatia. He's writing to bodies of people. And we see it in Revelation as well, where John calls out churches, the church in Smyrna and Philadelphia. And interestingly, those churches are all grouped very closely together. If you look on the map, those churches are very close together. But he's writing to churches, to local congregations. And it's important because those are the places where we build relationships with one another. I think the tendency in modern culture is to view church as a Sunday meeting often. It's like, well, I go to church, we worship, I hear the word, we take the sacraments, and then we go home. And then we repeat it again the next Sunday. And for many people, that is what church looks like. I don't believe that that's what we are called to. As much as those things are vitally important, and they are, sitting under the word, worshiping together, receiving the bread and the wine are very important, but it's not all there is to church and to the local body. Patience, I haven't welcomed you. Patience is a deacon in the Woodstock congregation. She is incredible. Okay, so get to know her. But it's wonderful to have you here. Okay. Let me just say this, which is quite controversial. In COVID, church moved online out of necessity. Okay? I do not believe online church is real church. Are we all agree? Okay, we agree. Okay, it's not that controversial. Okay. Local church is where we celebrate together, where we celebrate each other's wins, where we mourn each other's losses. Where we see babies born. We've had babies born in this congregation. It's beautiful. It's where we see saints fall asleep in the Lord. That's also beautiful. To see people who've run their race well. As a church, we can get together around them and go, oh, they've run so well. Thank you, Jesus. We get the privilege and the honor of seeing them progress to be with Christ. You can't do that online. It's where we share meals, where we do life together. We got a lift home from the airport this week from Dave. The first thing when I got off the plane, when we're in the Netherlands, going, who's going to lift us home from the airport? And our first thought was, who can we ask in the church? Who can help us? And then Dave comes and fetches us, and he kind of gives me a bit of a fright in the airport. I'm like, okay, it's Dave. It is Dave after all. But then what I loved is Dave tells us stories about how he goes for walks with Raynan in his nightgown around Fishhook. And I'm like, yes, this is life. Like, it's a little bit crazy, but it's fine. Like, that's beautiful. Like, he's spending time with him. Oh, Raynan's not his child, yeah. So Raynan is Casey and Bjorn's son. But it's beautiful. That's life. It's happening, which is amazing. And I love to see that. And so the first point is local church is important. We know that. We all know that. And I want to say that again. But we're not just part of the local church. And I think Amy said it as well. We're part of a wider church. So as much as we are Josh Gen Fishhook, we are part of Josh Gen Church. So we're a multi-site church who has 60 congregations around South Africa. That is a lot of churches. But we're all one. And so those 60 churches are not just people out there. They are our family. Not extended family, but family. I can walk into any Josh Gen church in South Africa, and that is my family. I know them. I know what they believe. I know what they stand for. I know I can worship with them in spirit and in truth. I know that they will embrace me. I know that if I go there and I don't have a place to stay, they will give me a place to stay. So, day trips and family visits. And so I recently heard this, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard it from a person who lives in Fishhook. There's a saying that people in Fishhook use called over the mountain. Has anyone heard about that? Have you really? Is it a thing? Okay. So I was sitting talking to this person, having coffee, and he's like, yeah, Fishhook, we talk about over the mountain, as in we don't like to leave the valley because everything we've got is in the valley. And when we go over the mountain, it's kind of like a bit of a day trip where it's like we kind of leaving because we have to. We don't really want to, but maybe there's something we've got to do on that side. Like there's a shop we can't get to. And I'm like, I don't know if that's kingdom. I don't know if everything is happening locally when actually we're part of a wider expression. And so I would say this, if we are family, which scripture says that we are, it says it repeatedly, it says that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, that we are children of God, so we are family. Can I make this point? I think there's an exception to over the mountain where you go over the mountain for family. If your sibling lives in Wellington and you live in Fishhook, you're going, I'm not going over the mountain because Fishhook is not in the, I mean, Wellington is not in the valley. I don't think that's biblical. But I think you would go because it's family. It's like, I want to see my family. I want to spend time with them. I love them. And so we travel to see family. We don't stay in one location. If this is true, then visiting family a little bit further is not a problem, but it's something that we should do and do often and do with great joy. So when we first moved the congregation from Musenburg to Fishhook, there was an opportunity for guys to travel to Groot Brak. Who's ever heard of that place? It's quite far, Great Brak in English. You can call it either or. I learned that while I was there. But Jules and I were talking, going like, we've just relocated the church. This is an important time in the life of the church. Like, should we be sending 12 to 15 people to another Josh Jane congregation that has just been planted in order to encourage them and support them? Or should we keep them here locally? Should we build locally? Because can we afford to have a meeting with those people missing? And what we agreed to was this. It's more important that we send people now to establish a trend that this is who we are as a church. We don't just stay in one place where it's comfortable, but we send people out at every opportunity to encourage other churches and other congregations. That church had just planted. It was important that we send people to them. And can I tell you this? No one in this congregation knew people in that church, and still they went. You see, the objection often is, well, there's people, I know there's churches that belong to us, but it's a little bit awkward because we don't know them. And so you're saying we can go visit them and like, well, who are these people? I'm staying in houses of people I don't know. I don't want to do that. It's not comfortable. I'll tell you this now. Everyone who went there from here? Okay. Did you form relationships with people that will be lifelong? Did you feel like you encouraged the church while you were there? Was it worth going? I think actually that was the best thing for our church at that point, was to send people out, to actually go to model something to everyone else. We're not a people who just stay in the local church. We're not a people who are afraid of going over the mountain. In fact, if going over the mountain is a negative thing, we want to make it a positive thing. We say, we're going over the mountain. Hooray! We're leaving the valley to visit family in other parts of the country. Sure, guys are a little bit nervous. Okay. What is it? This guy's just been traveling. What's going on here? Just chill, though. Just chill. Okay, but I think it's important. Because I think we need to, at the start, establish this thing that we are a local church, but we're part of such a bigger church and such a bigger picture that we can get stuck in this thing of going, this is just me, myself, and my church. And it's not that, as much as it is. Does that make sense? We love the local church, but we also love the broader church. We want to be part of it. We want to be going out to people in other places. Paul says this in Ephesians 6, 21 to 22. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you may also know how I am and how I'm doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know how we are and he may encourage you. Paul is sending Tychicus to encourage the church. Fellow believers who know Christ. And what I've said is, as I said earlier, the objection might arise, well, we don't know these people. We are a bigger family where we don't know them. Why should I go? And Romans 1:11 says this. I love this passage. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. This passage is beautiful because the Apostle Paul could quite easily have written something like this, something more formal, which is maybe what we would do. I, Paul the Apostle, am coming to visit you to impart spiritual gifts. I trust that is all in order. He doesn't write that though. He writes this. I long to see you. Who is Paul longing to see? People he's never met. Paul's never been to Rome. He's like, I long to see you. You would say that to a person you maybe knew. Like if Margaret had gone overseas for an extended period of time and I was going to visit her, I was like, Margaret, I long to see you and fellowship with you and spend time with you because we've got relationship. Paul's never met these people and his heart burns to be with them. Why? Because they serve the same Lord. They serve the same Jesus, the same gospel. They share the same mission. Next time we arrange to visit another congregation, I hope that you get excited to see people and to spend time with people that you have never met, but who are part of your family. And let me be honest, it can be awkward. We were in Netherlands now. I'll get to that a little bit later, but we went on a camp, we camped with about 80 people. We probably didn't know about 75 of them. I mean, somewhere around there. Some of the conversations were just like, they're exhausting. You sit down around a meal, it's like, I don't know you. Tell me about yourself. Like, it was incredible, but over 3 days, I think we probably met about 65 to 70 of those people and built good relationships with them. Why? Because we had the same DNA. It was the same purpose. It was the same mission. It's like, what is your heart burned for? The kingdom of God. Okay. We're family. As I said before, I cannot rally and cry being over the mountain is a good thing. Let's get over that mountain. Let's go visit our family in Wynberg. Wynberg's not that far. In Cape Town is terrible. Literally in Cape Town, Simonstown is far from Fishhook. We're like, oh. I got to drive to Simonstown. At least 15 minutes. Can I tell you this? In the Netherlands, and this is not a comparison thing, but in the Netherlands, there are people who drive an hour every Sunday just to get to church. And a Wednesday. Wynberg, 15 minutes. Seapoint. Now you're pushing it, Dylan. Let's just calm down a little bit. We've just agreed to get out of the valley, and now you're telling us to go, like, what about Gordon's Bay? Gordon's Bay for the gospel. Where's Gordon? What about Hrobo? Wellington. From Fishhook, Wellington's about 2 hours, eh? What if I asked the comm leaders in this, where are the comm leaders? Why don't you guys stand up quickly? I'm going to ask the comm leaders this. Actually, this is a challenge. I'm making them stand so you all can hold them accountable. I'm going to ask the comm leaders that in the coming weeks, you make an arrangement on a Sunday morning, come and speak to me when you want to do it, so you're not all gone at the same time, because that would be the whole church would be empty. That you make an arrangement to take your people to another congregation, another Joshua congregation in the city, and you spend the morning with that congregation. And you arrange with another comm leader on that side to spend time with people in that church. So it's not just a meeting, you actually spend time with them and build with them. Okay, that is my challenge to you. I would love you to do that. And I would say if you are in, you can sit down, thank you. If this all feels a little bit overwhelming for you, going like, what are these people asking me to do? Trust me, you will be encouraged and built up by this process. I promise you that. If you've never done this, if you're sitting there going already, I'm not going, I'm going to miss comm this week, so I can just, I don't know the plan, and then I can just, trust me, you will be so encouraged by just seeing what the Lord is doing in another Joshua congregation. I promise you. Okay. Is that good? All right. This is my final point. Yeah, I've gone quite quickly here. That's fine. Doesn't have to be long. The final point. As a church, we belong to a network called 412, which means that Josh Jen is part of a wider field of churches which stretches across the whole world, which is incredible. And we see Paul talking about this in 2 Corinthians 10:15, where he talks about, I'm not going to read, he talks about regions beyond. He talks about he wants to build with the churches in this area so that he can go out and reach churches in regions beyond. And so Paul's writing this off, obviously, in the first century, but in this day and age, we have churches all over the world. The work and the word of the gospel has reached out across the world, where there are churches in all different places, all different cities, all different towns, all over the globe, there are churches. And as a network, as a 412 network, we have churches all over the world. I hope you know that. Okay, so we've gone from local to kind of translocal to kind of moving a little bit out of our comfort zone. Now we're going to like the nations. Huh? Isle of Man. So the other of you don't know, we've got a daughter. Maybe you've noticed we've only got one daughter with us. We didn't leave Rosie at home. Rosie, we left in the Isle of Man. because we want to get a picture of how the church functions overseas. And actually, it's a bigger picture of not just the local church and a South African church, but that we are part of a global church. And so she's serving in the Isle of Man, and they are making her serve. She's working really hard, which is great. She's doing kids' church and church camps and all this kind of stuff. And then she's going to the UK for 3 weeks to serve the churches in the UK, and then she's going back to the Netherlands to serve the churches in the Netherlands. It's beautiful. And Karen is in the States, going to the conference in America. So Karen was going to come with us to Europe. We were like, come on, Karen. And then she was like, I've got a 10-year visa to America. We're like, go there. She's got family there. Go there. Spend time with your family. Then go to the conference. See what the Lord is doing in America. And then come back and tell us. Encourage us with what the Lord is doing. Let me just encourage you with this quickly, of what the Lord is doing in the church in the EU. Some of you were there yesterday at the conference. I mean, at the Hub Day. The Lord is doing so much in the church in Europe. It's incredible. Like, churches are being planted. Let me just tell you one story. I think if you were there, you heard it, but if you weren't, In the Netherlands, it is legal to be euthanized. So you can go to the government and say, I don't want to live. And the government will take you through a short process, and then they will say, you are a lost cause. The government will say to a person, you are a lost cause. We give you permission to have assisted suicide. And so they will facilitate your death. And so we went to the church in the Netherlands, and there was a young woman being prayed into the church as an administrator. And we were like, well, this is great. But when we heard the backstory, it was even more amazing that this woman a few years earlier had been given the green light by the government of the Netherlands to kill herself. And so an eldership couple in the church said to her, come and live with us for a year. No obligation. If after that year you still want to go through with it, we won't stop you, but come and live with us. And she went and lived with them, and she gave her life to Christ, and now she is serving in the church. How beautiful is that? How redemptive is that? That secular culture says you are a lost cause, and Christ says there are no lost causes. Yeah, it's incredible. It's like, I know, it's not comparison. It's different phases of where the church is at. But guys, are we open to opening our lives and our churches to people around us? With wisdom and prayer, obviously. But it's incredible what the Lord is doing there. It really, really is. And so I will encourage you with that. So this is the only thing I want to tell about our trip. Recently, we went to Europe, and part of our trip was going on holiday, so we spent a little bit of time on the Côte d'Azur, which was very expensive and hot. And so we ate a lot of bread, which was very glamorous and sophisticated. No, it was really good. So because Rosie was going to Europe, we wanted to spend some time with her, and so we spent a few days. But the majority of our trip was to go to the church and to see the church and to go to a church conference. And so we chose to spend our time camping in a field in the Dutch countryside with about 80 people we didn't know in the sweltering heat and attending three lectures a day, after which we spent 4 days in what they called the Black Box, which was an unfortunate name. So we went to this massive convention center, and then there was like this, was marked off with curtains called the Black Box, which I was like, guys, maybe it's lost in translation, it didn't really work. But it was, that's what we chose to do at a conference. And so the question is, why on earth would we choose to travel halfway around the world to camp and sit in a convention center when we could have spent more time on the French Riviera? And my answer is relationship. Spending time with people who love the Lord and wanting to experience and see what is happening in their part of the church, and to encourage them and to be encouraged. And to know that the gospel is being preached there as much as it's being preached here. It's the same reason that I drove to Pretoria over a weekend to play a punk show. And here's the challenge. If I can drive to Pretoria to play a silly little punk show, why can I not drive to Pretoria to visit the church? To encourage them just for a weekend. Yo. Slow down, Bill. Just slow down. Slow down. Okay, let's first work on getting to Weinberg. Okay, yeah. Yeah, why not? Let's roll it. Yeah, okay.
Hi, I am Kristen, and I'm from City Ball under Luke. Hello. So just what you're speaking about going local. So about a year ago, my husband and I are comm leaders, and we were struggling with our comm purely because they've been in Joshian for a really long time. So I'm speaking about like 7 years, 8 years. And they lost hearing the voice of the Lord within, I would say, the bigger vision of church. And Luke came up to me one day and was like, okay, cool. I think we just need to take, disband your comm. You've been together for 4 years. Let's just go elsewhere. And everything in me went, no, 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 no. So I was like, okay, cool. Went back and spoke to my husband. I was like, I feel like the Lord's saying, no, we're going to lose the essence of who we are and what the Lord's doing in us if we do this. And everybody's going to have to start from ground zero if they move to another comm. And I don't want that for everybody. So we didn't really know what to do. And I felt to invite Tony and Lindsay. Now, I didn't do it because they lead a congregation. I just felt to invite them. I was like, let's get a fresh voice in our comm. Anyway, we didn't tell them why we wanted them there. I literally sent Lindsay a message going, hey, will you guys want to come and join us for a night? Tony got a download from the Lord about where we were in our comm, how our comm was feeling. And about 5 minutes before, Tony says to my husband, Josh, can I just share on what I'm feeling like the Lord's saying to you? So, it's you guys as a comp. And Josh goes, what is the Lord saying? It's like you guys are stagnant. You guys aren't listening to the voice of the Lord. And you've lost God's heart for the bigger, bolder church. Anyway, he spent about 45 minutes with Lindsay, literally just sharing and inputting into our comp. Our comp has changed from that moment. Something bigger happened where we shared with Luke. We actually ended up going on holiday like a week later, so we couldn't. So we were sending voice notes to Luke going, this is what the Lord did. Luke goes, okay, cool. We all need to absolutely halt as a congregation, City Bowl. He got one of my comm members to share what Tony and Lindsay shared, and it changed the whole entire church. Luke was about to change up every comm. And then he heard what the Lord was saying and completely stopped. And still to this day, comms are thriving. Our church is thriving. Our church has grown like in numbers. And it's all because we invited exactly what you're saying, outside in, and we were willing to travel. I know it really wasn't because we all lived in OBS, but I'm willing to drive, guys. So I want to say, please come to my comm. I'm in City Bowl. I live in OBS. You're welcome to come.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah, that's super cool. And so I would say this. I realize not everyone has the opportunity or the finances to travel overseas because it is expensive. I do get that. But that doesn't mean that we cannot support the churches overseas with prayer and even finances. Paul says this in Colossians 1:9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. Interesting that Paul hadn't even been to that church. He'd heard about them, and because he'd heard about them, he started praying for them. I wonder if that is our heart for other churches, going, hey, I've heard there's a church. Let's pray for them. And I was quite challenged by that. So beginning of this year, we met a couple called Rudolph and Sonia. We'd never met them before, and so it was one of those awkward moments where it's like, hey, there's a couple coming over from France. Can you meet with them? Yeah, there they are, yeah. And so we're like, okay, let's get breakfast with them. And it's a classic, like, hey. We all know those conversations. Tell us, what are you up to? Like, hey, what's God doing in France? Anyway, but it was great. And then so we saw them again when we were in the Netherlands, which was awesome. And so, oh, they did come to the church. Yeah, yeah, okay, they did, yeah. And so this is a couple that went to, they were living in Fishhook for 10 years about. They went to France about 4.5 years ago. They haven't planted a church yet because they've been waiting for the Lord to give them the right time and the right moment to do it. And so they've been trying to learn the culture and get embedded in the culture before they plant a church. But I really want us as a church to partner with them. I feel like we can partner with them in prayer and actually lifting them up and going, Lord, you've put France on their heart. You've given them a vision for a country which is incredibly hard to plant a church in. If you think Fishhook is easy, I don't know. I mean, Cape Town, I mean, I don't know. There's different areas have different challenges. France is, he's just telling a story, it is so hard. He actually got a prophetic word on the camp where someone said, you have a head like granite. And he was like, yes, I do. Because he's hitting his head all the time. trying to break open something in this area is in Toulouse. And so I want us as a church to partner with them and pray for them because they are fellow workers in the gospel. And their inheritance is our inheritance. They are part of us as a body. And so can we please pray for them? I actually want to be bold and ask this. Is there anyone here now, today, this morning? You've never met them.